Listen to part of a lecture in an environmental science class.
Today I'd like to introduce the topic of integrated pest management. Now, unlike the previous methods that relied on pesticides alone, integrated pest management requires a complete analysis of the ecology of the crop, which pests it might be susceptible to, how the pests interact with parasites or predators, how the climate affects the pests, and how beneficial insects can be encouraged. It's also important to understand the points of vulnerability in the life cycles of pests. Now, reproduction is especially important, as you can imagine, because if you can reduce the number of new pests, then the population will be dramatically affected. I'm talking about during the next crop season. For example, during the mating stage of some species of moths, a chemical called a pheromone spelled with a PH, so a pheromone is released by females to attract males. Believe it or not, the males can detect pheromones from, well, as far away as 2 miles. That's nearly 3 kilometers. So spraying an area with a pheromone, or something synthetic like a pheromone, that confuses the males. That makes them, they are unsuccessful finding females to mate with, and the moth population the following year is greatly reduced. So there are fewer pests to deal with. Of course, another option is male sterilization, which has been very effective, especially with certain varieties of flies. The screwworm fly can actually kill large grazing animals like cattle or goats. But since the female mates only once in her life cycle, the population can be controlled by developing sterile males. And they do this in lab settings, and then they release them into the environment. So, as you can see, manipulating the reproductive cycles is one very good way to manage pests. Now, another management strategy is to use a predator to control the pests. Most of you are familiar with a ladybug, but you may not know that the ladybug is a natural predator of aphids, and aphids attack citrus trees and reduce crop yields. So by increasing the ladybug population, the aphid population, it naturally decreases, and ladybugs aren't harmful to other plants. Okay, I should mention that the definition of a pest extends to vegetation. Weeds are pests too, and they can be controlled effectively by introducing predators as well. The criteria are a little bit tricky though, since weeds are plants, and it's important to find a predator that attacks the weeds, but it doesn't like the crop, so it leaves the plant crop alone. But it can be done, like the case of several species of beetles that feed on a wetlands weed called purple loosestrife. The problem is the loosestrife crowds out cattails and other native vegetation in the wetlands ecosystem. So the beetles are introduced, and they reduce the loosestrife. Don't quote me on this, but I think it is as much as 90% in some areas. So, that brings us to the use of bacteria to kill pests, which I'll just mention briefly. One example of an effective intervention is the introduction of Bacillus thuringiensis. Let me write that on the board for you. Bacillus thuringiensis, which releases a toxin that destroys large populations of mosquitoes and caterpillars, and is especially efficient in ridding crop areas of the caterpillars that become adult leaf-eating moths. Actually, the modification of farming practices can make a huge difference in pest management. For one thing, there are some naturally occurring pesticides in plants. Marigolds control soil nematodes, and garlic controls some species of beetles. So you see, planting these crops along with another crop that needs protection can really help. Another thing, destroying crop residues by plowing them under, that eliminates an environment where pests may live during the winter, and they die out. So there aren't as many, and that reduces the need for insecticides in the spring. Oh yes, the old practice of crop rotation has become popular again too, because it prevents a buildup of the same pests year after year. But the latest strategy in pest management involves the genetic modification of the plants themselves. Now, in the next decade, we hope to be able to engineer high-yield plant varieties, and they'll be much more resistant to insects and diseases. Although this is a simplification, in general, genetic engineering... Did I say generic? Genetic engineering, that's genetic engineering, involves the insertion of genes from other species into crop plants in order to develop beneficial traits. One example that is very exciting is the insertion of bacterial genes, and these genes will support the plant's production of a natural pesticide that the pesticide will protect it against its primary pest. And in another successful project, genes are being inserted to protect the crop from the pesticides that are used to control weeds. So that could be a real breakthrough. Of course, there are ethical considerations and cost-effectiveness issues. In fact, some countries won't import genetically engineered plants because there are still so many unknowns. Can we really know the result to the total ecosystem that the introduction of a biotechnologically engineered plant will cause? In any case, you can see that there are a number of alternatives for integrated pest management, including pesticides, but also using intervention in the reproductive cycle, the introduction of natural predators, substitution of bacteria for pesticides, modification of farming practices, and even genetic modification of the plants themselves. Most management plans will, in fact, use a number of these strategies in a complete plan.
23. What is this lecture mainly about? According to the professor, what are pheromones? 25. Why does the professor mention the example of ladybugs? 26. Which changes in farming practices support pest management? 27. Listen again to part of the lecture, then answer the question.
Although this is a simplification, in general, genetic engineering... Did I say generic? Genetic engineering, that's genetic engineering, involves the insertion of genes from other species into crop plants in order to develop beneficial traits.
Why does the professor ask the following question?
Did I say generic?
28. What does the professor imply about genetic modification of plants?